what they're showing on film, that sort of thing. But oh my God, the freaking notifications. I'm about to lose my College football nerds here talking Alabama and Florida. We haven't had a chance to talk about Florida much this year, so we're pretty excited about this one. Huge game, week three, Florida hosting the Tide, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to get nerdy with y'all. A couple of things of note. One, we started doing a live show on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're doing another one this week, 10 p.m. Eastern. They're a lot of fun. The chat's awesome. We go for a couple of hours. You can find links in the description. We post it in podcast form on Spotify. Since it's long, you might not want to watch on YouTube, might want to just listen to it. And obviously we'll post the link to the replay that's on YouTube as well. So that's for this past week, but check us out this coming week at 10 o'clock, Saturday night. Second thing, as y'all know, in the comments, give us your score for this game. Let us know what you think is going to happen in this game, and we'll mix it up there with you. And Florida fans, maybe some of you are back from having seen us, maybe not in a while. Remember, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. It helps us out a ton, and want to keep bringing y'all content. All right, Josh, obviously a huge game, and we've seen both teams have kind of two tune-up games. I know Miami is kind of a big name, but they're probably not great. And even if they are great, they were completely outmatched in that game. Not a lot of great scheme fits for them. And so my question to you, just getting out of the gate, is it a situation when we're trying to pick this game or strategize on how things are going to play out in this game, is it kind of tough because of the opening opponents for both of these teams first 2 weeks that we may not know much at all given the lack of real competition?
It definitely makes it a lot more challenging. Between the two teams, you essentially have one half of football, and that was the first half of Alabama versus Miami. And Florida has been able to just sort of toy with their first two opponents. And I don't put it past Dan Mullen to go into those games, show as little as possible, and basically play Florida Atlantic and Southern Florida as training exercises and hold as much back as possible for Alabama. I say put it past him. It's not like it's a dumb thing to do. I mean, it's smart to hold a lot of your cards and play them in that Alabama game if you want to spring the upset. And on the Alabama side of the ball, I mean, they really took their foot off the gas after the first half in the opening week, started not only dropping their play calling off, but started rotating starters. And in the Mercer game, there really wasn't much of an attempt on their part to blow that game open. That was obviously, I think, a teaching and motivation exercise from Saban, as he is extremely apt to do in his those second, third week non-conference games. I think maybe every other year or maybe two out of 3 years, they have one that's a dud. And I think it's at this, like a decade in, you have to view it as intentional. So I think both these coaches have been sandbagging. I don't think either team has really shown their cards. And in Florida's case, we really haven't seen anything that really makes me think I know what their offense is going to look like, what their run pass balance is going to look like, et cetera. So it's really hard to evaluate these two teams in what is currently a pretty bad vacuum.
So we don't know what we don't know. And I think it's fair to say that both of these teams have probably been sandbagging a little bit in terms of what they're showing offensively. We talked about how Oregon was definitely doing that week one against Fresno. Ohio State tried to do it. And then we saw kind of a different offense against Ohio State. I think that Florida's got some of that in the tank. Look, Emory Jones' numbers so far, especially from a yard per attempt standpoint, I think it was in the fours against FAU. I think it was in the fives against South Florida. He's better than that. And I think it's because they're having him work on stuff specifically. They're taking an entire part of his game away intentionally, trying to get him better at certain things. And we're going to see a different offense for Florida against Alabama. Now, whether or not that makes a difference, I don't know, because this Alabama defense is ridiculous. Even without a Will Anderson, they're pretty scary. Will Anderson is at this point questionable. We're not sure. He took a shot to the knee Saturday. Could be a huge loss for them in this game. But either way, I think Alabama's got a stout defense. My question for you, Josh, is let's talk about what Florida's path to a win in this game is, and how that game looks, both schematically and how they play the game. Like, do they need to keep it really short in the game, that sort of thing? Talk about, if you're envisioning a game. We look Sunday morning and Florida's won this game. What they had to do to get that win.
So twice in Dan Mullen's career, he's had Alabama on the ropes and very nearly beat them. The first time was in 2017 when he was at Mississippi State, and the second time was last year. The route that he took to get to those two near misses was extremely different. 2017 was a run-based offense. They ran the ball very successfully with the quarterback and, you know, with the running backs, but especially with the quarterback, and being able to sort of keep themselves in manageable down and distance at all times. They didn't throw the ball downfield a whole heck of a lot at all in that game. The goal for Mississippi State in that 2017 game was really just to make sure they kept, you know, they kept the chains in front of them. Now, I mean, that game was like 3.5 yards per carry, but it was a bit deceptive. There were negative plays involved. It was more about staying on schedule, about trying to limit Alabama to a reasonable amount of points, and they were late in the game, 24-all. Alabama ended up hitting a pass where this young receiver, Devontae Smith, who ended up being pretty good later in his career, snagged a pass, broke a tackle, and scored a touchdown to win. The 2020 game had a very different feel to it because it was a much more pass-heavy game. It was the downfield passing attack that Alabama struggled with. Really a very, very different game than the 2017 game. I know Mississippi State, Florida, you can make the difference between the two schools, but it's still Dan Mullen, and I think they're still trying to run generally the same offense in both programs. It had to do with talent, it had to do with approach, but it had a lot to do with the quarterbacks they had. In 2017, Mississippi State had Fitzgerald. He was an excellent runner. He was not a great passer. He was really limited in the passing game. And so they were really like a power run attack, get Alabama close, and then throw over the top. And in 2020, they passed to set up the run. Trask is not a great runner. They had excellent receivers, and so they leveraged that talent advantage. So those are, I think, really two ways you can attack Alabama. And if I were to say how Florida is built this year, they're built a lot more like that 2017 team at Mississippi State, but probably a better version of it, right? They have quarterbacks that are really athletic. They're both more athletic than Fitzgerald. I don't know that they're more powerful. I know Richardson's a big guy, but that's more to do with the fact that Fitzgerald was like a fullback quarterback. But they're probably, especially Jones, is probably a more accurate passer than Fitzgerald, and I would think Richardson may well be too. Fitzgerald was not a great passer. And so you've got that, and then the surrounding talent, receiving core, that kind of thing is a lot better than what was at Mississippi State. So I think that's the mold they have to go in. It's not last year's Florida team, which was built in a very different fashion. I think it's going to be more of a traditional Dan Mullen running quarterback, run spread passing attack, run to set up the pass, and use a lot of short passing game concepts and hope for explosive plays where, you know, you get a quick pass, you break one tackle, and because the safety's up, you end up with a big play.
And we did see Alabama a little bit susceptible to the big play in the second half of their game yesterday against Mercer. Some of that was backups. So there's really, again, hard to know whether or not they're going to be open to that. But Richardson does bring that big play ability. I hope he's healthy. I think he pulled up hamstring there at the end on that long run. So hopefully he's okay. You've got one potentially huge injury on that side in terms of what they can do with their scheme, and then one for Alabama that we already talked about with Will Anderson. I agree with you on kind of their approach. I do think that Dan Mullen's going to shorten this game. He didn't really do that because he knew that he could put up a ton of points in the SEC championship game. He didn't really do that. He didn't worry about the clock and about keeping it short. But, man, I think against this Alabama team, from what we've seen so far and what we know about them, we probably are going to see something like that. Now, on the flip side, for Alabama, do you have any concerns about, like, maybe they aren't this Death Star world beater because of what we saw against Mercer, because of the clunky start in the first quarter? Or do you really have supreme confidence in Bryce Young and these new wide receivers and this maybe some issues in the offensive line? Do you have supreme confidence in that without having to see them do it against a really good team to this point?
Miami is not an elite team. The Appalachian State game showed that they have a lot of flaws. Now, Appalachian State is frequently a ranked team. They're not a bad team by any measure. They've got Chase Bryce. backup quarterback from Clemson from a few years ago that kind of saved them as their starting quarterback. That was a good team, but it showed that Miami's, you know, maybe borderline ranked team. I think that's about the best you can expect from them. I don't take a lot from the Mercer game. Like I said, there's way too much history with Saban sandbagging those games against a Western Kentucky or a UT Chattanooga or Tulane or whoever. They've had a whole history of those. I am a little concerned by the fact that when I watched the early part of that game, they were giving up a lot of pressures in the offensive line where it seemed like they weren't really on the same page. I know they've had a lot of injuries in the offensive line. They're still out there starting right tackle, as far as I'm aware. And they've had, I think, a guard in and out of the lineup. It's a little unclear because, you know, this was true before the starting week. It's really unclear if this was ever supposed to be the starting lineup and just how much it shuffled. But I'm not super concerned, but I don't think it's a slam dunk either that they're going to score 40 points at will against everybody they play. That may have had to do with a lot with Miami, and there may be certain things that teams are able to exploit, especially now that they've got film.
Yeah, for me, the thing I will say that it looks like Bryce Young has a pretty decent command of the offense, and they're not just relying on chunk plays like we had this criticism of Michigan, of Iowa State, that like these offenses are needing a 60-yard run or a 70-yard pass to really get some points on the board. So that's encouraging. I'm a little concerned about the run game, but you and I noticed in the game against Mercer, they didn't run to the left side at all. Like, they had one run late to Trey Sanders, and he popped it for, like, 20 yards. So I think that that's something that is really just sandbag city. So when we're talking about the fact that maybe both of these teams have been really just playing to work things out, treating these first two games kind of like spring games, who do you think is the key matchup, or where do you think the key matchup is for Florida? Again, if we're talking about them getting a win, we'll do Alabama fans, don't worry, we're gonna do them next. Can they potentially take advantage of an Alabama where there's a deficiency? Is it maybe that run game that would force it to be on Bryce Young, or is it something defensively that you've seen that maybe they can exploit?
Again, the biggest key for Florida, if they want to be able to win the game, is that Florida needs to be able to run the ball. If you were to talk about where Florida has an advantage in the game, I think it would have to be outside pass rushers in Brenton Cox and Zachary Carter. They've got good outside pass rushers, and I think Alabama is pretty unproven, especially on the right side of the line. And I think Bryce Young has a tendency to hold the ball too long, which we saw early in the Mercer game. So I think that's really the biggest disadvantage for Alabama, and the biggest area where maybe Florida has a major advantage. And maybe this is the point where we turn it around a little bit. The key for Florida is whether or not they can actually get those running quarterbacks to be successful in their offense and to be able to leverage Alabama. And I think the biggest concern I have is that there's this narrative that Alabama struggles with mobile quarterbacks. And I know you've had this soapbox a lot over the years. That narrative is really overly simplistic. Alabama's had trouble with mobile quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks are all really good passers. And where I'm concerned, if I'm Florida, is it's really the offensive side of the ball, because this Alabama defense, it's Georgia and Alabama 1A, 1B right now, and who's the better defense. But they are extremely good. And Florida has really come out to slow starts, hasn't looked great. They didn't have an offensive line that got a lot of push last year, and they're actually rebuilding a little bit on top of that this year. And I'm not really sure where Florida has advantages on the offensive side of the ball versus Alabama defensively. They're not alone in this. There are not many teams in the country that are going to have any unit at any level that is better than the opposing unit Alabama has. It's going to be about just trying to eke out points where you can and hope you have a bad day defensively for Alabama. But the one area Florida has is really athletic quarterbacks. I'm just not sure if the passing component there is good enough. And I'm not sure that the narrative that you can win by just running the quarterback is really true if there's not a real passing game. And I don't know if you maybe want to comment on that and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, we saw this a lot with this narrative comes up all the time. And for me, you know, yes, Alabama struggles with Heisman winning mobile quarterbacks. On the flip side, real quick, Josh, like, do you think that there's a potential for Alabama to really feel the loss of Allen, given that Sanders is actually an upgrade in pass coverage? He's an upgrade dropping back and covering even wide receivers and catching back or running backs out of the backfield in the passing game, he's a downgrade in setting the edge. And you've got these physical, big, mobile quarterbacks, and you're not setting the edge as well. Is that a potential concern, or is it that Alabama's defense, just some of its parts, really can absorb that deficiency?
I think it's a concern. So if you want to talk about teams that have given Alabama issues, one big example, maybe the exception to the mobile Heisman winner example, is the 2013 Auburn team. Now, that game was interesting because Auburn didn't actually move the ball very well at all. If you look at the stat line, they had a handful of plays to put together, and they got off a couple RPO shots on Alabama. But one thing they were able to do, and then Oklahoma was able to do in 2013, was get the edge on Alabama. They didn't have great safety play that game, that year. They didn't have particularly good outside linebackers. And something I've noticed about the way Florida has built their roster in their opening games, it's a little subtle. They've gone really big. So they ran a lot of like receiver screens to Justin Shorter. Do people realize how odd that is? I mean, Shorter is 6'5", 227. He's not normally the guy you throw the ball to on a screen. He's almost he's kind of had a hard time in his career because he's a little, almost like an undersized tight end. Hasn't quite panned out the way people expected. But his, you know, his comp is that he's maybe a B-minus version of Pitts, if he can quite take that next step in terms of polish. But he's not typically the guy you'd throw the ball to on a screen. It's more of a Tony. Where I think they're going is they're trying to establish, yeah, we'll throw to these guys, but what they really want to do is put out a lot of size on the perimeter and run laterally a lot behind those guys, and then occasionally take deep shots in man coverage where they have a height advantage. That style of offense could be a concern if Alabama's out, you know, and will be out, their senior outside linebacker in Allen, might possibly also be out Anderson, who is their best overall defender and probably easily the top five overall defender in the country. Now maybe they can get that edge a little better. And I think what Florida really wants to do is get to the receivers blocking on the edge. Because I think Florida is aware that their offensive line is not an elite team unit in terms of ability to push the pocket. So I think what they want to do is, you know, especially if you have a mobile quarterback, it gets really easy. But even with the running backs, get the ball to the perimeter and use those guys as blockers, because yeah, your offensive line may not be dominant in the run game, but your receivers are a lot bigger than the other team's DBs. And so if you can get behind that 6'5", 230-pound receiver, now maybe you actually have a size advantage on Alabama. And it's that edge run game that I think is where they're going to try to go this year in general. And the loss of Allen does give a little bit of a concern to it. The problem is Alabama's safeties and linebackers this year are not what they had in 2013 when they lost that game to Auburn. This is an elite set of safeties and linebackers, including a lot of depth, high-level depth on the edge. I don't know that Florida's going to have an advantage. It's definitely a loss for Alabama that they don't have Allen versus Sanders in this game this early, but I still think they've got the advantage on the edge. It's just something where it's maybe closer to an even matchup, and it's somewhere where maybe Florida's going to try to live. I think ultimately in this game, and I may crow, I think we're going to see the quarterbacks run a lot more than we saw the first two games, just because of the matchups and the fact that Alabama has such a good secondary. I don't think Florida is going to try to be pass happy in a pocket passing team like they looked the first 2 weeks. I think this is going to be much more a zone run quarterback rollout game, and they're going to have a lot of RPO shots on the edges to try to create conflict on the corners, throw into their big targets downfield and man coverage, and they're going to just try to rack up some points and contain Alabama's offense. And I think, you know, your evaluation of how this game's going to go is whether you think that strategy is going to be successful for Florida, and whether you think Florida's defense is going to take a significant step forward or Alabama's offense a step back such that they can contain the Alabama offense.
Yeah, and I think that, and this is where we get into really the crux of what I think about the game. I think that there's a lot of things, and I'd love for you to just real quick, couple of seconds, tell me if you agree or not. There's a lot of things that Florida's going to do in this game because out of necessity, in terms of scheme fits, that they have to do that aren't going to work against Alabama that absolutely will work against other teams. Yes or no?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so I think that, and I'll get into my pick a little bit here and talk a little bit about what I think about Alabama and what we've seen so far, because we haven't touched on it too much. of the new batch of quarterbacks right now, it looks like Bryce Young is ahead of the CJ Strouds and the DJUs in terms of winning the scheme and command of the offense and that sort of thing. I hope Alabama doesn't have to go to their backup quarterback because that situation looked pretty dire yesterday. If Richardson's healthy, I think he can stress Alabama a little bit, but that's not a recipe for a consistent offense throughout the day. That means they might can get some points, but I don't know that they're going to keep Alabama from scoring. I think we saw Alabama, people are going to look at the Alabama-Miami score, which I think was like 44 or 48-14. And if this game is similar, people are going to think that Miami and Florida are similar, not realizing that Alabama could have scored 65 points against Miami if they wanted to. And they probably could have held them to 7 points if they wanted to. So from that standpoint, I think it's going to look a little bit like that game in the final score, but these teams are pretty far apart in terms of quality. I think the road thing has the potential to rattle Alabama early, but these skill players at wide receiver look so good and that they haven't dropped off much from last year. I'm a little concerned if I'm an Alabama fan about the run game, but I think all the parts together, and I've kind of touched on that a little bit about the defense, I think all the parts together are just too much for Florida to put together a consistent day to where they can really threaten Alabama. And at some point, Alabama's going to get a lead, knowing that Florida's not got the same threat that they had in the SEC Championship game, and kind of take the air out of the ball. So give me Alabama 37 and Florida 20. Tell me what you got.
Ultimately, I think the problem for Florida is that they're just not really built to handle this type of team right now. I don't know quite what we'll see from the defensive side of the ball for Florida. They've got a lot of rebuilt pieces, and the teams they played, frankly, aren't good enough to set it up. I mean, they look better against South Florida. The South Florida line was higher than the FAU line for a reason. It's a particularly bad team. Lost 45-0 to NC State in their opener. I personally think that we're going to see a similar defensive performance from Florida against Alabama as we saw in the championship game, with a much reduced offensive effectiveness. And when you go back and look at Dan Mullen's time at Mississippi State, and I'm looking at that because I think with the quarterback personnel and how he's built the roster now in his, I think, fourth year, right? Fourth year. You're starting to see a much more similar team stylistically to Mississippi State. And in those 9 years he was there, he kept the game within 10. You know, in the 9 years that he was there, he scored more than 10 points twice on Alabama. 2 out of 9 times, he managed to score more than 10 points. And the narrative of the mobile quarterback really falls apart because he had mobile guys a lot. He had this guy named Dak Prescott for like 4 years there, and he wasn't really successful but one time, and in that it was a 5-point win that was actually a last second backdoor cover. So I just don't think they're going to move the ball very successfully. I think if Richardson was 100% healthy, I'd have a slightly different feel, but any sort of injury to him is going to limit him a little bit. And I think his downfield passing ability may be a little more Blake Sims-like than people want to acknowledge right now. And frankly, the fact that he's not starting tells me. Also, if you look at the high school he was at, where he was at a school that won 2 games, I think his senior year, I don't think he was very well prepared to play quarterback, and I think he's still learning how to play the position, so he has to have a limited set of packages or a limited set of plays. I don't think he knows how to run the whole offense. Whether you think he's a good quarterback or not, if you can't call the protection, you can't get the receivers lined up, and you don't know the routes, you can't play it. And I think he's really having to learn how to play the position still. So I think I'm going to say 42-17. I think they're going to struggle with Alabama on the offensive side of the ball. I think they're on the defensively, Alabama's going to dominate them. I think they're going to get some shot plays, maybe RPO plays, maybe once or twice the quarterback's going to break free. And I think what it's going to look a lot like is the A&M game last year for Alabama, where Alabama won, was like 40-20-ish. And they kind of pulled away second, third quarter. It was a tough game for Alabama by their standards. It's going to be a lot more tough than the Miami game was, but they're going to kind of pull away at a certain point. And I think Florida is going to just flail trying to score. And once Florida has to throw to win, I don't think they're going to be able to, and they may actually give up some cheap points at that point, and then maybe get some points if Alabama starts pulling their starters, because Dan Mullen will play four quarters with their starters, which from a betting perspective is important in these kind of a game.
And just to close this out, I'll give you a little bit of pushback. Like, yeah, he only kept it within one score a couple of times at Mississippi State. The key operative phrase there is at Mississippi State, right? Like, yeah, you can say he had Dak Prescott, and that's great, but how many other players from that team can we name? And it's the supporting cast around them that matters just as much. We saw, like, we see what Justin Herbert's doing in the NFL and saw what he didn't do at Oregon because there was nobody else around him. And so this was Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. This is Dan Mullen at Florida, and I think it's a little different. The only the place where I think it fits, the narrative does fit a little bit, is Dan Mullen at Florida, after he's lost a tremendous amount of talent to the NFL, in that first year after that, it might look a little more talent-wise like a Mississippi State while he builds on that. So I can see it from that standpoint a little bit. And that's why, look, we don't have it as a super close score and it's on the road. If Alabama comes out and does hit your 42-17 number, does that sort of solidify in your mind that they are the Death Star and this is the kind of game or the kind of opponent you need them to see? You need to see them against to do that, to where you'll really feel like that?
I mean, it'll go a long way for sure. I not because I think they're bad, but just because I think they're improving. I need to see how good Florida's defense really is before I can judge Alabama's offense. I don't know that we're going to really get the full picture of Alabama offensively until, you know, maybe they play like A&M. But yeah, it definitely goes a long way. Ultimately, I mean, the truth of the matter is I just think Florida, I think they've gone really big at wide receiver. I think they're focusing on the running game, especially the lateral run game. Alabama's almost uniquely built to handle those kind of players on the edges. They've got great edge presence, and their safeties and their slot players are highly experienced, and they're big and they're physical. They're built a lot like Georgia teams the past couple years. I'm not even sure Georgia's – I don't think Georgia's that good in that phase of the game. So it's just kind of a bad matchup in my mind for Florida. And I'm – even on the offensive side of the ball, I'm not sure for Alabama how much I'm going to take away, because I think it's just going to confirm in my mind that this is not the team Florida is built to play this year. I agree with you. They're not Mississippi State. It's a different school, a lot more talent. But they're built the way Mississippi State was built then. And I think this result is going to be a little closer to a lot of those Mississippi State results, which were grinded out, ending up being non-competitive wins, where Alabama really had to work for about three quarters to get there.
All right, y'all, that's it for us on Alabama and Florida. Remember, we got a live show that you can listen to that we did Saturday night, and we got a live show coming up this Saturday night that you can also check out, 10 p.m. Eastern. Let us know in the comments what you think the score is going to be, and all the hate about Josh basically calling Florida Mississippi State can be directed at him specifically in the comments. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week, and God bless.